Well, good morning and welcome to Champion Forest. Hard to follow that up, huh? Man, thank you to our worship team. That was so, so good. Hey, if you have a copy of God's Word, go ahead and get it and turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. I want to thank Pastor Jarrett just for the opportunity and the honor to be with you all this morning. And as you're turning to 2 Peter chapter 1, that's where we're going to be hanging out this morning. This has been our text throughout the summer. I want to give you really just an overview of this passage, a recap of what we've been going through this summer, and set up our focus for today. So 2 Peter, written by Peter, writes to the Jews and the Gentiles of the church alike. This is the Big C church. And he calls the church to live righteously, even in the face of opposition. He calls them to live a life that's pleasing to God, even when it's difficult in this world. And he's calling them and encouraging them to look different than the world around them. That's a call for us this morning, to be light in a dark world, to be a source of hope, to point people to Jesus in a world that's lost without him. So look with me at 2 Peter 1. We'll go through verses 3 through 9. We'll take them a verse at a time, and then we'll get into our topic this morning. Verse 3, his divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence. If you've been with us all summer, Pastor Jarrett, in our very first message as we started this strength series, talked about that Jesus, the Holy Spirit, they give us these gifts that are about to be listed. And he shows us that as believers, God has given us what we need. He's not withholding anything that we need to be obedient and to grow in our relationship with him. The Holy Spirit provides and produces these things, but we are called to practice them. And so each week we've been going through something that the Holy Spirit gives us, but we've been called to practice. This divine power that he's granted to us in all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who's called to us his own glory and excellence. Look at verse 4. By which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desires. God has made a way. God has changed us. This passage is about what God has done and what he has done for us. If you look at 5, 6, and 7, this is the list of things that God provides for us, but he calls us to use. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement, to strengthen your faith with virtue, virtue with knowledge, knowledge with self-control, self-control with steadfastness, steadfastness with godliness, godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. So go ahead and underline, star, highlight, whatever your thing is, self-control. That's what we're gonna go over this morning. This is a list of what God gives us, and that's the list that we should display and develop in our life. We're learning to be stronger in our faith. And I hope as we've gone through each week that you're learning how to grow in your walk with the Lord, that you're taking what's happening here on a Sunday morning and using it in your life throughout the week, and that you're getting stronger in your faith. Maybe when you look through that list in verses 5, 6, and 7, you've seen something. Maybe we've already gone over it. Maybe you've just seen it as we've read and you've underlined it. And you say, I need to grow in, maybe it's knowledge of who God is. Maybe today, this is for you, it's for self-control. Maybe it's godliness. Whatever it is, look at verse 8. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, if these qualities are yours and increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he's blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. As we grow in these things, Champion Forest, we are going to learn how to be effective and to be fruitful. And this week, as we look at self-control, it's no exception. Pastor Jarrett said that we're gonna get spiritually buff this summer. I don't think I've ever heard that phrase before, but it stuck with me. I hope it sticks with you. And this week, as we look at self-control, I'm calling this really a spiritual leg day. okay? What do you mean by that? Some of y'all skip leg day, okay? It's hard, right? If you look around, some of y'all got chicken legs, okay? If you've ever seen a bodybuilder that doesn't do leg day, it's really obvious, right? And so self-control is one of those things that you might think you're fooling people, but we know, right? We know that this might be the virtue, this might be the thing that you skip over in your walk with the Lord. And so this week, just like every week, every part of the list that we've gone over, this list is linked together. And each of these areas we're called to grow. And each of these areas we're called to look like Jesus. Self-control, just like the rest of this list, it's an ability given by the Holy Spirit and a responsibility for the believer to use and develop. In this list, self-control is between knowledge that Mark Lanier taught on a few weeks ago and steadfastness or perseverance that Cal Kilgo taught on 2 weeks ago. And so knowing who God is, better yet, knowing God is so important. If we miss that, we've missed everything. But that should lead to a desire to be found steadfast, to be found faithful in our walk with the Lord. When we get to the end of our days, we want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. We want to be found faithful, steadfast, persevering. But in between knowing God and being found steadfast, this is where so many people miss it. Self-control. I'm not sure if you've ever learned self-control in your life. Maybe you grew up in a martial arts world and you learned that you had to be very controlled, right? Maybe you served in the military and through that you had to learn self-control. Maybe you were an athlete and so through that you were taught what self-control looks like. In my life, just like many other things, the Lord used my wife to teach me about self-control. And we can clap for that. 2 months. You're already gonna know where this is going pretty fast. 2 months after we got married, this is before we'd had any fights. Didn't even know that you could fight with your spouse, right? Wait till we get to the end of the story, that changes. But 2 months after we got married in early October. This is late November, right after Thanksgiving. We're hanging out at our apartment and Macy's leaving to go hang out with some of her friends. And it's Saturday morning in the late fall, early winter. It's time for college football, right? And so she leaves and she's like, are you gonna be okay? And I'm like, I will figure out a way to be okay with college football on the screen, right? And so I do what I don't think I've done recently because we have two little kids. I sat down on the couch with my coffee, turned on the TV, kicked my feet up, and had no distractions. Much like you, I get a little bit into my coffee. It's about 10, 11 a.m. at this point, and I go, man, a snack sounds really good. Well, right after Thanksgiving, as we were leaving my parents' house, my mom sent me home, us home, with a bag of cookies. And I'm not talking like store-bought cookies. I'm talking peanut butter cookies with the chocolate Hershey's Kiss on the top. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. I mean, this is like life-changing stuff, right? And she doesn't send a bag. She sends a bag. You know what I'm talking about? And when we leave, she's like, hey, make sure, Emery, you share these with Macy. These are your cookies together as a couple. It's like, got it, okay? Macy's gone. I'm at the house. I go for the cookies. And so the game gets really good. I'm locked in. I look down. I've eaten about half the bag. And so you're like, surely, Emery, this is where you say I exercised self-control and stopped right there. You would be wrong, okay? I did what you do, and I took the bag, and I held it up. You know what I'm talking about? So if you look at it from this angle, it looks like it's still pretty full. I was like, it's fine. I can eat a few more. So the game's like, next game's up. It's really good. I eat a few more cookies. I'm like, okay, I'll put it down. And the game finishes up. I look at the bag. There are 3 cookies left. And this is not a small bag. You know what I'm talking about? 3 cookies left. And so in my 2 months of marriage wisdom, I go, this would just be insulting to leave for my new wife. And so I scarf those cookies down as fast as you can imagine. I bury the bag at the bottom of the trash can. Some of y'all have done this, you know what I'm talking about. Buried it. And I thought, surely she's had a good morning. She's been with her friends. She'll come in. She won't think about the cookies. You already know. She walks in. I go, hey, honey, how was it? And I'm trying to be like just really nice, right? She's like, it was great. Where are the cookies? And I said, hey, I mean, I ate them. And she was like, yeah, but like, where's the rest of them? Thinking there's no way. And so I had to look her in the eye, 2 months married, and say, I ate every single last cookie in that giant bag. And she looked at me and said something that I will never forget. She looked at me dead in the eyes and said, you have no self-control. And it cut me like a knife. Here's the deal about self-control this morning. Your self-control or lack thereof will have ripple effects in every area of your life. It affects you and it affects everyone around you. And make no mistake, this morning, this is not a calling this morning for you to try harder in your own strength. This is for you to embrace the self-control that you are called to live by that's only available in and through the Holy Spirit. When you look at this word self-control that's found in our second Peter passage, what we're talking about is not physical, earthly self-control. So this is not a message this morning about working out and getting on top of optimizing your schedule. This is a spiritual self-control, similar to like what we would see in 1 Timothy chapter 4. Rather train yourself for godliness. For while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way as it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. This self-control in krateia in the Greek has two basic words in it, and in that it means in dominion or in mastery, in power to rule. This idea is holding oneself in. It's the ability to take a grip of oneself. In fact, our message title this morning is Get a Hold of Yourself. Get a Hold of Yourself. The question is, do you have spiritual control in your life? Does the Lord have spiritual control? Are you displaying self-control in all the areas of your life? Self-control proceeds out from within oneself, but not by oneself. For the believer this morning, it's only possible by depending on the power of the Holy Spirit that you can display this. In fact, self-control is at the end of the list of the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Some call it the capstone of the fruit of the Spirit. It's a gift from God, and it's a marker of your salvation, and a believer will have self-control. Pastor Wayne Barber said this, there's a definite article, the, in the Greek, before each godly characteristic in 2 Peter 1, 5 through 7. So when Peter is talking about self-control, he's talking about the self-control. He's talking about the very self-control and self-restraint that Jesus had, even as he himself was tempted, as all men are tempted. And yet, God in his goodness and in his grace gives us access to that same self-control. This morning, if you're looking for a working definition of what self-control looks like, it's this: self-control is God-fearing, Spirit-led obedience. Self-control is God-fearing, Spirit-led obedience. God has given us, as his prized creation, as people that are made in the image of God, he's given us abilities and desires purposefully. We are different from the rest of all creation. He's given us a desire for intimacy, for influence, to work, to rest, to learn and grow, to provide and protect. But with these abilities, there are responsibility to use them for good and for God's glory. There is a weight, there's a responsibility that comes with our desires, and Spirit-led self-control is what helps us to live a life. It is for God's glory and for our good. This morning, what I want us to look at in the rest of our time together are three areas of self-control that we need to know so that we can get a hold of ourselves and we can continue to grow stronger in our faith. These three areas, really simple: the don'ts, the do's, and the desires. So when we live a self-controlled life in the Holy Spirit, when we've got a handle on our lives, there are gonna be things that we don't do that the world does. There are gonna be things that we're tempted to do that we hold back from because it's not honoring to the Lord. It's not pleasing to him. There are gonna be things that we do that we engage in that the world might not. There are gonna be things at times that we're called to do that we might not feel like, and self-control, having a handle on our life, is gonna call us and equip us and strengthen us to do them, but it all boils down to our desires. Has God changed your desire? So this morning we'll start with the don'ts. If you're writing this down, taking notes, write this down. The don'ts: this is starving the flesh. This is killing sin. If you look back at 2 Peter 1, 3 through 4, that little passage there ends in verse 4 with this: having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. Is that you this morning? Has God made you new and you've escaped from this? If God set you free from it, don't run back to it. If God's given you a new life, a new heart, a new spirit, there are things in life that we shouldn't run back to that maybe we've known all too well in the past apart from Jesus. We have to acknowledge that we are sinful beings apart from Christ, that we in our flesh are tempted to do things that are not pleasing to God. We have to remove that which causes us to be ineffective and unfruitful from our lives so that we can live in a way that is God-honoring and leads others to Him. And so many of you in the room, man, God's given us a desire for intimacy. God created humans to be sexual beings, but how do you fill that desire? That's an important question. So if you walked in this morning and you thought, man, self-control, I got that. I haven't had a carb in a year. It's not what this is talking about. This self-control is, do you have a handle on your desire for intimacy? Do you have a handle on your sexual life? Self-control, this word in the Greek that's used in 2 Peter 1, is a definition that's specifically in regards to control over yourself sexually. All through Scripture, we see warnings. We see God speak to us in ways that we can understand through His word to warn us to abstain, to run, to flee from sexual immorality of all kinds. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 says this, "For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you abstain from sexual immorality, that each one of you know how to control his own body in holiness and honor." That's self-control, not in the passion of lust like the Gentiles who do not know God. 1 Corinthians 6:18 says, "Flee, run, get away from sexual immorality." The will of God for your life is sanctification, for you to look more like Jesus. It's not your momentary sexual pleasure. He calls us to abstain and to run. But this word is not just used for your sexual life. Many of you have a God-given desire to see right done around you, justice done around you. But do you get angry and does it lead you to sin when things are not done how you want them to be done, when you want them to be done? We can be angry. That's clear in Scripture. But what we do in our anger is absolutely important, and we're held accountable for that. Our hearts, they should break for people around us. It should make us feel something when things go wrong. But how do you respond? Psalm chapter 4 says, "Be angry and do not sin. Ponder in your own hearts on your beds and be silent." Proverbs 29:11 says, "A fool gives full vent to his spirit, but a wise man quietly holds it back." Maybe one of these things hasn't applied to you yet, but maybe God's given you a desire for community, to have people around you. That's fun to do, to talk, to have friends to go through life with, but maybe that's a good thing that God's given you, but we twist it in a way that is sinful because we don't have self-control in this area of our life, and you start filling that desire for community with gossip and slander and stabbing people in the back. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29 says, "Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear." Proverbs 26:20 says, "For lack of wood, the fire goes out, and where there is no whisperer, quarreling ceases." Some of y'all, God's called to biblical community, to have people in your life that love you and point you to Jesus, and you do the same thing for them, but it doesn't look anything like that. Proverbs 26, "For lack of wood, the fire goes out." You need to stop feeding that fire. Self-control is fighting and fleeing from sin of all kinds. Maybe you don't struggle with those three that we just went through. That list certainly isn't exhaustive. Maybe you see something familiar to you on this screen. 2 Timothy 3, 2-5 gives a list of things that people in the last days, people that don't know Jesus, how they live their life. And right about in the middle of it, there's one that says people would live without self-control. This list isn't exhaustive either, but maybe there's something in there that's a little bit too close to home, and you realize that, man, you have not been living a spirit-led life of self-control in one of those areas. Self-control allows you to avoid being under the influence of something else so that you can continue walking in the influence of the Spirit. As we walk with Jesus, as the Holy Spirit leads us in a life that's marked by self-control, it's not just the don'ts. It's not just staying in your house and not engaging in anything. It's actively pursuing the Lord. There's a list of do's. This is feeding the Spirit. Self-control not only calls us to run, to flee from sin, but to pursue holiness. 2 Peter 1:5 says this, "For every reason, make every effort, work at it to supplement, to strengthen your faith." As we feed the Spirit, it's not just refraining from sin. Self-control is about growing in godliness, not moral superiority. Self-control is in every part of our life, what we restrain and what we live out. And I don't know if you need this reminder this morning, but Satan is coming after you. You know that, right? That Satan is working real hard to put sin in between you and Jesus. He's working overtime. So my question is this: are you walking so close with Jesus that there's no room for anything else to get between you and him? We are called to a relentless pursuit of holiness. I've told many of you guys this, that I grew up in Beaumont, and when you're outside of the Southeast Texas area, you can say, Beaumont's like Houston, it's right there, and people go, okay. And then you move to Houston, and you say, and they're like, no, Beaumont is not at all like Houston, okay? And so Beaumont is where I grew up. I kind of attended school, mostly played football at Westbrook High School, loved it there, had a great time. And during that time, when I was a freshman, we had the number one running back in the state of Texas, okay? So while I was a freshman, many of you know, like fall's starting to come, like you're getting ready for the football season, like you can kind of see some of this. If you know high school football, after you get through the regular season, there's kind of this rite of passage where the freshmen move up to practice, not play, practice with the varsity. And so this was our time. And we got moved up at this rite of passage. We're gonna become men, right? Playing ball with the varsity. And what it really is, like just us friends talking here today, we are like living, breathing practice dummies, okay? We have no chance of doing well. We have no chance of making plays. And so this guy, his name was Christine Michael. His mom wanted a girl, got a boy, was a all-state running back. Don't know how that happened, but it did. And he was awesome. And so every day in practice, I was playing defensive line. I made it my job to try to tackle him. How do you think that went, right? Not at all. Never happened. And so I quickly adjusted to reality. And I said, man, my goal now is to try to just like tap his shoulder pads to say, like when we get done with practice, yeah, I could have tackled him, but I didn't want to, right? And so I try that a few more times, really never even get close to him. And the varsity is just having a great day. We are not. And so they start taking it a little bit easier on us, which I was very grateful for. And our offensive line coach for the varsity huddles everybody up. This man's name was Joseph Bowser. He was one of the biggest influences on my life. And this was before he became a big influence in my life, but he made an impact on me this day. He circles the varsity up. We're over here, we can't hear him, but he circles them up and he says, guys, you're taking it too easy. Play to the whistle. And he looks at him again and he says, I said, play to the whistle. If you don't, I'm gonna run you after practice. And so they heard that. And they come back to the line of scrimmage and all of us freshmen are like, what'd they say? Huh? I don't know. And we found out real fast, okay? And so I do my thing. I go try to get our running back, nowhere close. There's this big dog pile of people right here. You can kind of see this happening. And I stand straight up. Our running back is gone. He took it serious. He was playing to the whistle. He was already in the end zone. I see this pile of people here. And I go, okay, the play's over. And I stand straight up. We had a center on our team as well. There was a nationally ranked power lifter. His name was Daquan Bennett. He squatted 650 pounds in high school. And he heard what Coach Bowser had to say. And he was running at 100 miles an hour. I was looking over here. He was coming from over here. And you already know what happens, right? He hit me in the helmet running 100 miles an hour harder than I've ever been hit in my entire life. I am parallel with the ground, flying through the air over the dog pile of people, land on the ground. He hit me in the head, but it knocked the wind out of me. That's how hard I got hit. I don't know what continent I'm on when I look up from the ground and Coach Bowser comes and stands right over me and looks at me and says, Emery, I said, play to the whistle. Play to the whistle. Guys, in our pursuit of holiness, there is never a break. Self-control is every single day of our lives. God is telling us to pursue holiness because he knows the world that we live in. 1 Peter 5 calls us to be sober-minded, to be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 says this, "So then let us not sleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober." Be ready. Luke chapter 9, verse 23 says, "And he said," Jesus said to all, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me every day till God calls you home to the whistle." We pursue this holiness. The things that God's called us to do in his righteousness and his knowledge that he's given us the self-control to live out, we live it. We do it. We obey him because he's good and he knows what's best for us. Let me ask you this morning. Is there a cause and effect relationship between self-control and godliness in your life? As you grow to become more godly, are you living more self-control? As you grow in self-control, are you becoming more godly? Hear me this morning. The goal of all this is not just to be self-controlled. It is godliness. But self-control is a part of being faithful and hearing, "Well done, good and faithful servant." So God's promised us that he will supply the self-control, but are you taking hold of it? Are you putting it to work? Are you playing to the whistle blows? This morning, maybe tomorrow morning, when you want to sleep in, do you get up to spend time with your Savior? When I was in college, someone told me this and it changed my life. You need 15 minutes with Jesus way more than you need 15 more minutes of sleep. And some of y'all, the beauty rest thing ain't working anyway, so 15 minutes with Jesus is gonna help a ton, okay? 15 more minutes with Jesus. I mean, seriously, do you make the time to spend with Jesus, to sit in his presence, to just listen, to read his word and let it change you? Are you memorizing funny lines from movies or shows that you like at the expense of writing scripture on your heart? Man, God's called you to know his word and not just to have a Bible around at all times for it to be written on your heart. Are we putting on the armor of God each day, or are we putting on the appearances of the world? This morning, self-control leads us to things that we should avoid, the don'ts. And that list is long, but it also leads us to the things that we should do. This pursuit, this relentless pursuit to the whistle of holiness that God's called us to live out. But none of this makes sense if you don't desire what God desires. Trying to live in a God-fearing, spirit-led way apart from being made new in Jesus, that's just legalism. That's just trying to appear like you've been made new instead of giving Jesus your life. Let's look at this. These are the desires of our heart. This last point together. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 8 and 9 says, "For if these qualities are yours," self-control being one of them, "and they're increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." Look at verse 9. "For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he's blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins." There's probably some people in this room this morning that have a relationship with Jesus, but you've forgotten all that he's done for you. And your life reflects that. Maybe you take grace for granted. Maybe self-control's just gone out the window entirely. But God's called you to live out your witness for him. For the unbeliever in the room this morning, you will never desire the things of God without being made new by God. And so if you wonder why you don't want what God wants, you should ask yourself, has he made you new? Is your life new? Is it different? Do you long for what God wants, or do you long for your own glory? I think especially the men in the room, we so often say that we would die for something. But self-control is the marker of someone who lives for Jesus. Their heart is for Jesus more than themselves. Like your desires, the things that you want, the things that you're willing to even show some self-control for,
are a reflection of the heart that you have right now. This is the last note that'll be on the screen. A new self has a new self-control. A new self has a new self-control. If you don't know Jesus and he hasn't changed your life, none of this is gonna make sense. It might sound like legalism, just trying to do these things and not do these things, but God's called us first to him. And once we've surrendered our life to him, he makes us new and gives us new desires and gives us a new self-control. But you can't be obedient to a God that you have not surrendered to. So this morning, do you need to get a hold of your life? If so, I'd challenge you, I'd encourage you, surrender to him today. Let's pray together. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed and not worried about what anybody else is doing or thinking in the room this morning, I want you to think about your life. I want you to think about, are there any markers of self-control in your life? Or do you look just like the world? You're engaging in everything that the world says is fulfilling, that's empty, that you're not pursuing what God's called you to pursue. And I'd encourage you, I'd challenge you to ask yourself this simple question: have I surrendered to Jesus? Has he changed the desires of my heart, or am I just trying to play like I have it all together? God knows what's happening in your heart. And so as you surrender to him, he'll change that. As you surrender to him, he'll give you the ability to live out a life of self-control. And that self-control that you live as it grows, man, that'll make sure that you live a life of being effective for the Lord, not for yourself. Of being fruitful for the Lord, not for yourself. And so this morning, in just a second, we're gonna have ministers at the end of each row. And if you need to talk to somebody this morning, don't wait. Walk down that aisle and grab somebody by the hand and say, I need to surrender my life to Jesus. Because only he can make me new. That's what we're here for. If you've been struggling in your walk as a believer to live out self-control and you just need somebody to pray for you this morning, walk down that aisle, grab a minister by the hand and say, I just need you to pray for me this morning. Whatever it is, whatever God's put on your heart, listen to the Lord. Obey his calling. Follow his prompt on your heart this morning. Jesus, we love you. And God, we are grateful that you make us new. God, that we are grateful that you've given us everything we need to walk with you, and that you've given us self-control so that we can glorify you, and that you've given us the strength, God, that if we walk with you and in your spirit, that we can bring honor to you in the way that we live. And so, God, I pray that you would be with us in this time. And God, that you would get the glory and the honor and the praise that you're due. It's in Jesus' name we pray.
Thanks so much for watching. We pray you've been encouraged and challenged. At Champion Forest, we focus on advancing the kingdom of God by making disciples, loving our community, and strengthening the church. We are passionate about all kinds of people coming to know God and growing in their relationship with him. We would love the opportunity to talk and pray with you. To connect with us, just go to championforest.org/connect. Of course, we can't wait to welcome you in person at one of our locations in the near future. For campus-specific times and details, just visit our website at championforest.org. We'll see you very soon.